Ready to lose 40 plus pounds without giving up happy hours, weekend brunches, or date nights? Then it's time to uncover the hidden link between binge eating and toxic relationships and finally break free from both. Welcome to the Hungry for Love podcast with Jillian Scott. Y'all ready? Let's go. Hey, hey, welcome back. All right, so we are going to go a little bit high level, a little bit abstract here as we talk about and explore what are you really hungry for? And I'm going to walk you through my thought process on why I chose this name for the podcast, because when we talk about love, so often we think about relationships, we think about romantic love, and this idea that we are hungry for love might imply that this is a podcast or a show all about just relationships. And that's part of why I add in taglines. That's part of why there's a subtitle. That's part of why, right? That's part of why there's a little bit more explanation. But I think this is really key because I fell in love with this name and really what this embodies. Because we are truly hungry for love. We are starved for love. We are starved for praise. We are starved for affection because we are not giving it to ourselves first. Is like really what it comes down to. We keep looking for somebody else to love us. We are hungry for somebody else's love, for somebody else's praise, for somebody else's affection, which is why you might be the type of person who isn't single for very long. You go from person to person inadvertently, like not even trying to, sometimes wanting to take a break and wanting to take some time off from dating. But within a week, maybe a couple weeks, less than a month, you're dating somebody new. Because this person is meeting your emotional needs. And that's why you can tell yourself you're going to take a break from dating, and then you don't. It's why after my first big breakup, after the divorce, I told myself, okay, I probably need to take a couple months off. And then maybe 2 days later, it turned into, let me just take off the rest of the year. It was like 4 or 5 weeks. It's about a month. Let me take off about a month from dating. And I swear, not even a couple days later, it hadn't even been a week since the breakup, and I was back on a dating app. Why? Because men were meeting my emotional needs. And I covered it up, and I lied to myself in a sense. I lied to other people, and it was somewhat true, but because I didn't fully realize this attachment at the time. Like, I saw it, but not really. And I told myself, I just want to prove to myself that there are other really great guys out there. And yes, there was some truth to that because at the time I thought that the guy that I was dating was like the last good, healthy man out there. There was so much fear and scarcity around men and dating. And also, I would say still probably wrestling with my own self-worth, self-value, and like really needing to deepen and strengthen that. But I told myself and I told others, I just want to see that there are good men out there. I just want to prove to my brain. And on one hand, that was helpful. Because I did have to prove to myself, and that was part of me getting over that relationship. But I also was not ready to start dating. I think I was like a Wednesday, and I was texting people either like within that first week. And I remember crying. I remember listening to a song on YouTube and crying over my ex-boyfriend. Meanwhile, I'm texting somebody new. That's not healthy. Not okay. But it was like I was still being drawn to the dating app and to meeting guys because they were meeting my emotional needs. And this is also, I think, why I started dating so quickly after the divorce. It was like, for the love of all things holy, will somebody please just tell me I'm pretty and be nice to me? That's all I want. The bar was so low. The guy that I did date, like he was a really nice guy, but he wasn't my person. And that's okay. I did see that later. But at the time, there was some major love bombing going on. And I didn't realize that he was love bombing me. And I was also probably love bombing him. And I also was quick to jump into things, even though it didn't always quite feel right. I recognized things were moving quick, things were moving fast. But because of that fear and scarcity, I thought, I don't want to miss out on a really great guy. And this is really good for us to see because so often, we are hungry. We are starved for love and affection and attention. And that's how I felt over the summer of getting divorced. And I wasn't doing that for myself. Of course, I had trained myself to do that with men. And I did that all growing up, all throughout my entire life. And it wasn't until probably about this time last year, was the spring of last year, that I realized, oh my gosh, I have never spent any time being single. And the time that I was single, I wasn't using it productively. I wasn't like this happy, strong, independent, loving my life kind of person. I still longed for a man, and I still was relying on a man to meet those emotional needs. And I've been on such a really amazing self-love, self-discovery season of life, and I'm still in it. But really, after this last breakup in September, and when things really came crashing down and falling apart, it was such a wake-up call for, I need to do things differently. It was like I had hit a rock bottom moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I can't keep doing this anymore. I've got to figure this out. And even though I didn't necessarily feel ready to start working with a coach, I didn't really feel like that was what I was supposed to be doing, I also recognized I could keep putting this off indefinitely. And that's what I had been doing since my divorce. I kept putting off this internal work and really exploring and understanding the connection and the ties and why I kept jumping into these different relationships. And so I finally decided, okay, I'm going to take a step back. And what's funny is, even though I decided I was going to take a break from dating, maybe a year, maybe 6 months, I wasn't committed to not dating. I still went on random dates here and there. I still got text messages from guys, people from the past. And it was like, hey, do you want to grab coffee? Hey, let's go for a hike. Hey, I'm in town. Do you want to catch up? It seems harmless, I think is the word. And so I would say, yes, I'd be like, oh, let's go on a date. Let's go to dinner. Let's go grab coffee, whatever it was. And thankfully, I had a coach and I had a couple of good friends that were like, wait, I thought you weren't dating. And I could be like, yeah, you're right. Okay. And even reevaluating that last month in February and deciding, nope, I'm still not ready to date. I'm not there yet. And this is really important because it's not just about not dating. It's learning to love myself better. It's learning to meet my emotional needs. It's figuring out what the hell are those emotional needs so that I can meet them for myself, so that I'm not looking for a man to do that for me, which is different than I've done my entire adult life. And really, I think this hunger for love, in part, there's some abandonment wounds from my childhood. There's some childhood trauma. And again, it's not just what happened, it's what I made it mean. So there's some of that at play here, like for me in particular, and for many people who find themselves in dysfunctional relationships or jumping from one person to the next, not spending a lot of time being single. I think the most time I ever spent, quote, single was like a month. And even then, I was still interested in somebody, even if we weren't dating yet. It's fascinating to see this. And so if you find yourself in one of those situations of, okay, I say I'm going to take things slow, or I say I'm going to take a break from dating, and then you don't, what I'm here to tell you is that you are starved for love and affection and attention and praise, and you keep looking to it in another person, and you are never going to find it there. You have to find it in yourself first. You have to insource that. And that doesn't feel fun. That's not exciting. It's way easier. We know how to get our needs met from other people. We're really good at that. There's this level of trauma and things that I had been through as a kid, what I made it mean. And then also recognizing that when we are starved for love and affection, we're not giving it to ourselves. Now it makes love bombing and really big, intense emotions and what feels like love, we assume that is love. Because we are starved for it in our own lives, we're starved for it in our own brain, somebody else is responsible for that, it makes us so susceptible to love bombing, where there's big emotions, intense emotions, talk of the future very quickly, bringing in God or the universe, or like we were destined to be together, we're soulmates. It's this very extreme talk, and we're wired to seek that. It feeds our soul. It really does. That love bombing is meeting so many of these core cravings, these core desires, these internal things that we're starved for because we don't know how to give to ourselves. We keep looking to other people. This is where the emotional eating and some of our binge eating habits can come from too, is looking for food to meet our emotional needs. But for this in particular, what I have found is that because I'm not loving myself, and because my love is dependent on my body size, shape, weight, I'm withholding that love, I'm withholding that praise, and I keep just telling myself, well, I just have to lose the weight first. then I can love myself. Then I can love my body. And I remember in 2015, 2016, as I was doing some work on myself and people would talk about self-love and self-care and love yourself now and love your body now. And it was like, no, that's not the problem. It's fine. I don't need to work on self-love. I just need to lose some weight. And once I lose the weight, then I'll love myself even more. So it was contradictory. It was like, no, I'm good. I love myself. It's fine. But also, I just need to lose the weight and then I can love myself. Then I can love my body. And this has come up for some clients and even some potential clients that I had talked to where they were really struggling and really wrestling with, I don't want to love my body right now. I can't. I physically can't. I emotionally can't. There is nothing lovable about me, my body, my size, my shape right now. I can't. I don't want to. And there's this fear that if I truly loved myself now, then I wouldn't make the changes that I want to make or I think I need to make. And then I would just stay fat and overweight and frumpy, and then I wouldn't be lovable. Then nobody else would love me. I think that's a fear of, I can't love me right now. I need to change me, then I'll love me, and then I can get somebody else to love me too. So often we really struggle with this because the self-love, it's not just this airy-fairy, oh, you've got to love yourself. Like, it's no longer raking yourself over the coals when you make a mistake. It's not telling yourself that you were a failure because you got divorced. It's not telling yourself that you're a failure or a terrible mom because your kid had a tantrum in the middle of the grocery store. Or maybe they're a teenager and let's say they shoplifted or they did something. And in your mind, you're like, oh my gosh, I have completely failed as a mom. I've completely let them down. I've completely ruined my kids. And we hold so much negative talk. We think we love ourselves, but we haven't a flaming clue. But we keep expecting other people to love us. We keep wanting, desiring, needing other people to love us. And this becomes our challenge. This becomes our work, is really to dig in and understand, what does self-love even mean? What does it look like? At the end of the day, we are hungry for our own love and approval and validation and for it to mean something. So often it's like we can praise ourselves, we can give ourselves a compliment, and it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't hold any weight. It's like the difference between a woman complimenting your hair or your outfit and then a man complimenting you. And I noticed this difference for me, and use whatever pronouns resonate for you, but it's like a woman could compliment me and she'd be like, oh my gosh, I love your hair. You look beautiful today. Wow, you're glowing. And I'd be like, thank you so much. And I've gotten better at receiving, but sometimes I still minimize, I still diminish. Oh, this frizzy hair, like I downplay. I still do that sometimes, even with women. What if a man were to be like, wow, you light up this room? I'd be like, take me, I'm yours. like it would just be a really unhealthy place to be because I am putting so much emphasis on that. And what my work has been is disassociating those needs, those emotions from a man and a man giving them to me, to where I can still enjoy it. I can still say thank you. I can receive the compliment. I can feel good about myself. But I am doing that for myself first. It's no longer feeding my soul. It's no longer water in a dry, barren desert. Really, that's what we're hungry for. We're hungry to feel good about ourselves. We're hungry and starved to have self-confidence and self-belief, to have the self-concept that we really want to have because of the things that we've been through, because of what other people maybe have said about us over the years. And so this concept of hungry for love, I think that's so much of what this comes down to, of like we are starved. Not only that, but all the diets we try typically leave us hungry, leave us feeling starved. Like we are hungry for food often. We are so hungry for love and somebody else's praise and attention that we are willing to starve our bodies physically in order to try to get there. If I could just be thin enough, if I could just have the right size, the right shape, be of the right weight, then I could love my body, then I would be thin enough. But I guarantee it, if you nitpick your body all the way down the scale, you will nitpick your body there. I was nitpicking my body at 140 pounds. I was nitpicking it at 120. The 20-pound difference, didn't mean a thing. I always found something that I wasn't happy about. And when I was starving myself and I did have six-pack abs, that it didn't last. It couldn't last. That's what was happening. I was basically starving myself. And did I look good on the outside? Probably. Miserable on the inside. And I remember there was a guy I was dating at the time, and it was like a week in between when I had come back from vacation, had abs, and then I still had abs, but not super clear six-pack defined abs. And I remember he looked at me and was like, "What happened?" As if I had been in a terrible accident. And I swear, the instinct in me to want to throat punch him right in that moment. "Who the F do you think you are? Like, what happened?" I stopped freaking starving myself is what happened. There was rage and bitterness. And ultimately, it poked a nerve in me because there were thoughts about how I should look and how I should look all the time. That's why it was triggering, because I already felt discouragement, shame, judgment around how my body had changed in that 1 week. Then at the same time, knowing I didn't want to be binging in the closet eating a can of nuts at night because I was starving myself during the day, which is exactly what was happening on vacation. This is when I lived in Bangladesh, and my sister and I were sharing a room. We were in Thailand. I think this was on a trip to Bangkok. And I was like not eating during the day, would go for a run maybe in the afternoon. I'd work out at some point, and then I would eat dinner and just not eat a whole lot. Again, like this is my low carb, low calorie days. And I remember there was at least one, if not two nights where it'd be like late at night, my sister had gone to bed and I'm like, it had a big like walk-in closet. And so I turned on the light and I don't remember if I was reading anything or watching something, but I'm like binging on a can of nuts in the closet in the middle of the night while on vacation because I am starving myself during the day, trying to lose weight, trying to feel better about myself, trying to get to a point where I could love my body and I could love me, because it wasn't just about loving my body. That was one piece, but it was like, can I truly love me? And in order to truly love me for who I am, I have to let go of some of these outdated beliefs that I picked up as a kid. That I'm a burden, unwanted, that I'm too much, and yet also not enough. This is the deep work we get to work on now. And this is why it's Hungry for Love. Because we have some real deep hunger for love, and for other core cravings, feeling appreciated, valued, a sense of community, being desired, wanted. Two of the key things that stood out to me when I was doing this and evaluating the past relationships and how I felt, or even just past dates, like it may not have even turned into much, but even just if I went on a date with somebody, like how did I feel when I was texting them beforehand? And feeling special and feeling chosen. Those were two really big common themes. And it was like, oh, I'm special. And because I'm special, he now chooses me. He could choose anybody, but he's choosing me. So I'm chosen. And then because I'm chosen, I'm also special. So it repeats that cycle. And that's what creates the codependency on that other person of I need him to meet my emotional needs. I need him to make me feel special. It's because of him and him choosing me that I am special. And so without him, who am I? I'm nothing. And that makes it really hard to walk away from the red flags. Makes it really hard to walk away when you start noticing dysfunctional patterns. Makes it really easy to fall prey to the love bombing. Or to want to take things slow and to take one step forward. And he takes five forward. It's like you start to get a little bit closer and he gets even more closer. And that's the thing, is like we can fall into these dysfunctional relationships because of our low self-esteem, because of our low self-worth, which we've attached to our body, our size, shape, and weight. And we really have to detach that. It is okay. You can love your body and still want to change it. And what I want to encourage you to do is love your body now and all the way down the scale. But we really struggle with these parts of ourselves, with parts of our bodies, or maybe our whole body that we believe is just so unlovable. And that's the work. I've said many times before, it's never about the food. It's these deeper emotional, psychological aspects. What are you hungry for? What are you hungry for today? What are you hungry for this week? Where do you feel starved? Starved for attention, affection, love, praise, validation? Where do you feel starved in your body and like physically what you are allowed to eat or how much you're allowed to eat? Because this impacts our binging. It's the restriction that drives the binging. It's the restriction of food that is the first point. It's not the only thing. It is just one piece of the puzzle. But it's the restriction that drives the binging. That often drives our self-loathing and shame, making it even harder for ourselves to love ourselves, love our bodies. But because that's all we know how to do, we just keep repeating that cycle over and over again. And we keep thinking, well, if I could just lose the weight, if I could just restrict enough consistently for a couple of weeks, I could lose this weight and then I could feel better about myself. Then I could love my body. One of the terrible ironies about it all, too, is knowing that so often there's this deep gut knowing of, okay, this restriction is only going to last for a certain amount of time. So if I was trying to lose weight before a vacation or a holiday, for example, it was like, okay, I have to time it perfectly because I have to lose the weight before the trip so that I look good on the trip. But I can't do it too early because if I do it too early and I lose the weight and then there's still like a week gap, I have to keep restricting, keep depriving all the way until the vacation. I still have to keep doing the thing that I really don't want to do. So I don't want to do it too early because then I'm going to have to maintain it. And that didn't feel sustainable. It was like there was still this deep knowing of what I'm doing is not sustainable, yet also not the full conscious thinking brain empowered to say, hey, if this is not sustainable, why are you doing it? Why do you think this is going to work? And it's because we don't know any other way. We've been told this is what's supposed to work. Maybe you even worked with a nutritionist or you worked with somebody and was like, all right, this is what I'm supposed to eat. And we have to be able to say the hard things. We have to be able to get the help and support that we need. This is essential. And I tell clients this all the time of like, say the hard thing. Tell me the hard thing. It does you no good to struggle for months being like, oh my gosh, why is it that I need willpower every day? Instead of saying, hey, I find that I need willpower a lot. Can you help me? That's what I'm here to do. And that's also why I don't give out meal plans. Because it is not me who has to eat them. Side tangent there. But as we get into this series and into more episodes around this content, I'll be weaving in more aspects around food, around cravings, and the difference between a food craving and a core craving. Because often that core craving that has us dieting and restricting with food is often to feel loved, to feel a part of the group, a part of the community, to feel valued, to feel enough, to feel pretty, to feel special. That becomes your work. This is the good stuff right here. You want to lose the weight and keep it off for good? This is the work. You truly want to break free from binge eating forever and never binge again? This is the work. And I can help you do it. If you'd like some help and you want to work with me one-on-one or in a new membership that I'm launching, the best place to start is with a free consultation. And on the call, we're going to talk a little bit more about where you are right now and where you want to be. And I'm going to help you to really break down and understand your binge eating habit, what's really happening and what's at play underneath, so that you know, here's how I fix this. Here's how I move forward, truly, once and for all. And from there, you'll know how to solve it. And if you want my help in walking with you to help navigate you and guide you on this path, then we'll talk more about what that would look like, whether you want to work with me in my membership or you want to work with me one-on-one. But ultimately, it's to start doing this work now. And it's to truly understand and to break down, how am I really thinking about myself? How am I really talking about myself? Why am I letting myself down? Because it's these thoughts, not just about food and body and self-worth, but even thoughts about your career or your marriage or your divorce or your parenting or how your kids are doing, like all of your thoughts about what's going on with your kids. That all plays a role in how we view ourselves, and inadvertently then plays a role in our emotional eating and our binging habits. It's all interconnected. And truly, if you are ready to make binge eating something of the past, if you want to make 2025 the starting point for decades of binge-free living, it's time to work with me. All right. Have a fabulous week, y'all. Here's to creating the life, body, and self-love you crave.
If this episode resonated with you, it's time to break free from destructive cycles around food, alcohol, and toxic relationships. Your next step? Book your free Break the Cycle call, where you'll finally see why your binge eating and relationship patterns are so deeply connected and how to break free from both for good. You'll walk away with fierce clarity and a game plan to step into a life full of fun, adventure, and self-love. Grab your spot now at www.bodyyoucrave.com/BTC. It's time to break the cycle. I'll show you how.